following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug Duda here on a Tuesday, where we will be catching up with Jim Holton, the head coach of the Tri-City Storm. They begin a three-game homestand tonight, and they will be taking on Lincoln. Then games Friday and Saturday. We're also going to catch up with Robin Washit from Husker Online, talk a little bit about Nebraska basketball, where they're actually at, especially on the men's side after the loss to Creighton, and football. The coaches are out there on the road, and there's no official. These guys are now part of the staff, but you can tell by the guys that are on the road doing some recruiting who's part of the staff. And there's already some negativism out there with possibly the defensive coordinator coming along that was under fire at Oregon State. So already some guff, I guess, going to be thrown out there with a defensive coordinator that could be coming over in Coach Banner. So will this change the way you look at things already? And should we be talking negative about the new staff less than a week after they've been hired? Nebraska fan. We'd love to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can also tweet us at ESPN1460, 1550, at ESPN1460, 1550. Let's get to them right away. We've got some time here to start the program off. Let's get you stirred up. Let's get you going. Let's see what's going on. I want to know what you think. I think this is obviously a very important time. We've went over it the last few days of everything that could possibly be happening with this football program. And this comes from Brendan, I think. In your opinion, will Nebraska fans ever come together again? It seems that the group that wanted Bo to stay are now anti-Riley, and the group that wanted Bo to go are now for Riley. So now the fan base just flip-flopped. The only way I see it coming back together is either a couple of years of 8 or 9 losses, or a couple of conference championships, or a national title. I don't think there's any anti-Riley. I don't agree with that. I don't think there's anti-Riley. I think there's the people that, and the majority of them, whether you were for or against Coach Pelini, just don't know Mike Riley, don't know anything about him, haven't followed. Who follows Oregon State football? I mean, if there's some alums in the area, that'd be about it. You know, you don't see Huskers for Beaver signs anywhere, do you? I mean, do you? I mean, talking about football, do you really? Anywhere? Basketball? Baseball? I mean, that's what you know him from, is the College World Series. So I don't think they're against him, and I think, though, you bring up an interesting point in the email. Is Nebraska Husker Nation divided? Well, I'll start with some of the college kids. who don't even know that Nebraska was ever a winner. I mean, they win games, but as far as championships, conference championships, national championships, kids going to college now have never been part of a championship team. Back in 1999, I mean, they were kicking around their little soccer balls and playing with their toys and getting on their parents' nerves at the ages of 1, 2, and 3, those guys and gals that are in college now. And then you've got the old fan base that continually start their conversations with, well, when Tom Osborne, quit it. Just quit it. Tom Osborne, 97, even longer since the championships. So then you have people in the middle of my age that have seen it and are hoping to see it again, kind of like Royals fans who did get to witness that again this year. Hopefully we don't have to wait 29 years in between conference championships at Nebraska, but there's nothing to say that that won't happen. Let's see. What else do we got here? Well, there's a book. I don't know how I'm supposed to read a book, but I appreciate that. This comes from Dwayne in Holdridge. He says, Doug, so glad that you answered your own question about the firing of Bo and the fact that the Huskers finished exactly where they were projected at the start of the season, 23rd, actually 22nd. This happened because of Bo's track record, and the voters knew that with Bo at the helm, the Huskers would manage to lose the allotted 4 games and end up right where they belong. On top of that, he reminded me of a drunk, narcissistic butt on the sideline. The game on television was no longer about the game. It was about Bo's antics and all the camera shots. Myself and a whole lot of others were done with his behavior and the way he represented the state. We will see if Bo was any good as a head coach, when and if he is ever hired by anyone else, and we will then see what he can do with that team. Was Bo out of line this year? Let me throw that question out to you, all the people that hated the sideline demeanor. Was Bo out of line this year? Were there confrontations? Was there national media about Bo this year? Angry Bo? Yes, there from time to time there was upset Bo on the sideline when he thought, as usual, if there was something that went against his football team. But so is every other coach. Again, all you want is improvement. And I thought we saw that in that aspect of Coach Pelini. Let's see. That's an NFL question. And this is a book. I need to read that before we get onto what we've got going there. Another note here that has come down this morning. We'll look at UNK still looking for a coach for the second consecutive year, though. Left tackle Cole Manhart has been selected to the Division II All-American team. He is a repeat selection. He is also the first Loper to make the team twice in his career. So congratulations to Cole Manhart. He is a Football Coaches Association All-American, one of the top Division II prospects for the NFL draft. Blocked for the Lopers this year, that averaged 181 yards per game on the offense and rushed for 16 touchdowns. That's rushing yards. And other MIAA players are from Northwest Missouri State, along with Missouri Western and so on and so forth. Michael Jordan, by the way, made it. I thought you'd be interested in seeing that. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, if you would like to join in on the continuing Nebraska football discussion. As we will see, it sounds like Coach Riley has started to reach out and talk to some of the young men that have already committed to Nebraska and to Coach Pelini and his staff to kind of see where they're at. And we'll see how many of those stay and how many of those go. He's also brought in his own player or two already. And does Nebraska want a player that was committed to Oregon State? There's a question for you. I know a few years ago we were saying, woo, we're winning battles over Ohio and Eastern Illinois to get these guys. And that was really agitating to a lot of folks. Nebraska's not going to get a lot of the guys that say, well, my choices are down to Alabama, Southern California, Florida, and Oklahoma and Nebraska. And they're not going to win a lot of those battles. It just doesn't work out that way unless you're from the Midwest. So your thoughts on where Nebraska is. Let's go to Sam and Holdridge. One thing that has annoyed me about the Pelini loyalist crowd over the years is that they seem like they have held the belief that just because they liked Bo and his style of coaching, that they were somehow a better fan of the Huskers than the rest of us who did not care for Bo. I think it's that rift amongst the fan base that is causing a lot of the issues at Nebraska. I feel like when Osborne left the program, everyone in Husker Nation was on the same page. When Solich was fired, there became two groups of fans, those who were okay with it and those who were not. After Callahan was hired and fired, there became another subdivision of the fan base. And after Bo was hired and fired, another. And now finally with Coach Riley having been just hired, it seems there's going to be yet another subdivision amongst the fan base beginning to form. So now there really are eight subsets of Nebraska fans with different identities at this stage. Man, Sam, I didn't know it was eight. I got three. I figured three there. I didn't know it was eight. Sam goes on to say, this is where I believe Sean Eichhorst missed an opportunity in the hiring of Mike Riley. Don't get me wrong. I think Mike Riley is a good coach and will get as good or better results for Nebraska than Pelini ever was able to. But because of the fracturing of the fan base that has occurred over the past 15 years, I feel like the program was and still is in need of a uniter, someone who could have gotten the fans to quit our bickering and jabbing at each other on social media and on the radio and allow us to start moving forward together again, shoulder to shoulder. Okay, I'm going to stop right there because then the next line has something to do with Scott Frost. Wow. Sam, here's what I will say. The coach should not have to worry about smoothing the feathers of the Nebraska fan. If the Nebraska fan has a problem, it's because the Nebraska fan has created that problem. And I think that is part of what we're talking about here. Had everyone just supported 9 wins a year and 10 wins a year, Coach Bo Pelini would still be here at Nebraska. But it was the whining and crying, and eventually that caught on to the Nebraska media, whether it be newspaper, radio, or television. And obviously, when you have four-hour radio shows in the metro, you will have time and downtime to be whining about certain things. And it's the whiners that need to grow up. And the coach should have the coach wants to be good to the fans. Every program, every school, every sport wants that. But the immaturity and the whining of the Nebraska fan has gotten totally out of control. Totally out of control. Just to finish up with Sam, I feel like Scott Frost could have been that candidate, a former Husker player, who could have possibly argued or decided they weren't able to be excited about getting on board with him. I'm not a booster or a season ticket holder. However, my family does have season tickets, and I attend games regularly. I went to UNK, so I have no real skin in the game at all here. However, Nebraska football is a big part of my family's fall traditions, and I do feel personally invested for that reason. I want to see the program do well and be competitive. I can handle losses once in a while, but it's the lack of competitiveness and blowout losses that get me fired up. Sam, Ohio State 59, Wisconsin nothing, championship game. I have been on record as wanting Bo fired right after the recording was released a couple of years ago, revealing the guy's true colors. I'm happy Bo is gone, mostly just despite the high and mighty supporters of his that claim fan supremacy due to their unwavering support of Bo and his staff, regardless of his sideline antics and blowout losses against good teams on national TV. I hope the fans in that group are enjoying their humble pie and are prepared to support Mike Riley 100% through thick and thin, or be prepared to call themselves hypocrites. Go Big Red, Sam. Also from Holdridge, our second one from Holdridge today. So Sam's got a lot of points there, but one of his points is he thinks the reason people supported Bo was because they were Husker fans, and that was the only reason they supported Bo is because he was the head coach, and it was no matter what, you support Nebraska. Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. I'm going to support Nebraska. I want Nebraska to win. You may not like the coach. That doesn't mean you quit rooting for the team, does it? I don't know. Let's go to the phone lines. Johnny and Carney is standing by. Johnny, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. What a thrill getting through. Thank you very much. Hey, I have a question. It's going to be kind of an oddball question, but Bo Pelini, I think you might be right in not firing him, but not as the Nebraska head coach, but because he's in the University of Nebraska system. Why didn't they just transfer him to UNK? Keep the same pay rate. The highest paid Division II coach in the country, Bo Pelini, UNK. Would that have been awesome?
We would have had him on the show every week. That would have been something.
I mean, wouldn't that have been a possibility? The same regents or whatever, and the same. He would have been under the same paycheck, same payroll, the same deal.
You think he'd have gone for that?
Well, if not, Nebraska would have kept their money.
That's an interesting point.
I mean, wouldn't that have worked? I mean.
I don't know. I've never heard of that before. So
the,
you know.
That's just a thought, and I think it would have been kind of a unique, a real unique deal. Say, hey, Bo, we're going to set you out for a year, you know, because you get off on your assistant coaches and the players a little too much, and we're going to put you over here for a year, build this program up. You're really a good coach, and if Riley doesn't work out, hey, we'll bring you back. I mean, that would have been kind of a unique deal.
It would have been unique.
But I'll tell you, I hope Nebraska has a real good game, and I hope the fans change their buying habits, and the stadium is full in San Diego with Big Red fans, the team that, of course, I'm an FC fan, so I just hope that our 45 matches up well with your 85. So, but anyway, hey, thank you for all you do. You're a pro, Doug.
Hey, thanks for the call, Johnny. Fight on, buddy. Thanks, Johnny. Johnny joining us here on the Cardi Chicken Coop fan line. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Always welcome to fire off anything sports-related. Obviously, Husker football heavy right now. The Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperStation.com. The Twitter address at ESPN1460-1550. We're going to get on the ice with Tri-City Storm coach Jim Holton. We'll talk with Robin Walsh of Husker Online. It's all still to come.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
You want action. You want excitement.
This place is going nuts.
You want the ultimate adrenaline rush. Then you want the one and only PBR.
The Midway Auto Dealership's PBR Challenge coming to the Buffalo County Fairgrounds Saturday, December 13th at 7:30. Featuring great riders and tougher bulls than you'd ever expect. Brought to you by Casey's General Stores, Rouse Farm Equipment, Taco John's, Cunningham's Journal, Bud Light, and JR's Western. Don't miss this year's Midway Auto Dealership PBR Challenge, December 13th at 7:30.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, we'll have partly sunny skies with a high near 37. Tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy. We'll have areas of freezing drizzle late with a low near 24. Tomorrow, we'll have mostly cloudy skies with a high near 37. Currently, it's 27.
Welcome back to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Don't forget the Midway PBR Challenge is coming up this Saturday at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, and we will have a special show Friday talking a whole lot about what's going on out at Fast Fills. That's part of their Christmas get-together. We've got a lot of things going on this week, so that's one of them. And Midway invites you to come out for their year-end deals, whether you're looking for a brand-new Cadillac for Mama, or you're looking for a big old Chevy Silverado for Papa, or you need something for the kid going off to college, maybe it's time to take care of that at your Midway Auto Dealership. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and thinkmidway.com, located at South 2nd Avenue. Be sure to like them on Facebook and Twitter. They're always giving away things and letting you know what's going on in the community, including maybe sliding on out and seeing the Tri-City store. Midway Auto Dealerships, Think Midway, it's a better way. And I just got to get to a couple more of these tweets, and then Coach Holton and Jared Schaffner are in studio with us here. This comes from Husker Brian. He goes, I was hoping for some bigger names being hired as far as assistants, although I was well aware that probably wouldn't happen. Here's to hoping the coordinators work out, but I'm a little skeptical. Again, I just tried to tell you guys 2 weeks ago, there's no Ed Orgeron, there's no Scott Frost. Just remember anywhere that this has ever happened. They always think it's going to happen in Lincoln, Nebraska. And finally, Quincy says, hey, Duda, do you have a 12 Pelini Days of Christmas song up your sleeve for this year? Yikes. That's an idea, though. It's an idea. Might have to get some better singers. That's all I know about that. And we'll save that one. Let's talk hockey. Tri-City Storm begin a three-game homestand tonight against Lincoln. But I'm more fired up, Jared, because we got Ugly Sweater Night coming up this weekend. So, you know, the hockey is no longer ugly, so we're going to bring in ugly sweaters. What's going on, man?
You know, I know why you're excited, because it's dollar beers as well. So get the ugly sweater, dollar beers, and we've got some reindeer that are going to be at the arena. So it'll be a nice Christmas vacation theme on Friday night.
Coach Holton, what do you do with live reindeer, and what if they get loose?
I hope they can forecheck.
Well, the Storm have been on the road for four games, and kind of amazingly, we're about a third of the way through the hockey season right now. Storm sitting at 10-7-3, coming off a nice win at Dubuque. And, Coach, how happy are you right now?
I'm satisfied. I don't think happy is the right word. I'm happy to be back at home. This was a bit of a tough stretch for us on the road. Results weren't necessarily favorable. It was a nice win in Dubuque, a big one, and hopefully that can springboard some confidence into the Final Four before the break. You know, I think we're set to have a big second half. I think the group is learning how to win, but we still have some steps to go.
And we'll get into some roster changes here in a little bit and everything that molds the team throughout the year. But just from a fan base out there that maybe just following the Storm, how do you feel the competition is that you've played so far? Are you playing? I know you've played some of the really, really top tier good teams, but how do you feel the level of competition has been through the first 20 games?
Well, the word that jumps out to me is parity. The league's a lot closer this year than it was. I only have, obviously, last year as a reference point, but much tighter top to bottom on both sides this year, as evidenced, I think, by the two so-called expansion teams in Bloomington and Madison, who are both on streaks of five-plus wins. It just indicates how difficult every game is, and it sounds like a cliche, but I think this year, last year when I got here, the split between the top four and the bottom four, particularly in the West, was quite dramatic. Not so this year. When you look at the standings, there's a lot of people lumped together. Injuries, luck, bounces, that's all going to come into play here, but I think from a fan perspective, it's much better. There's going to be some races that go right down to the wire this year.
One of the reasons is you guys are better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were one of that bottom four, probably bottom two last year, and we took our lumps and wanted to be a lot better. And now we're right now and currently in the top four, and we want to make sure that we stay there. And that's been part of the reason for some roster moves, and there could be more in the future. But because of the nature of the competition, you have to be prepared to play every night. There's no such thing as an easy game.
What have you been doing as far as roster switches? I know we just had a new young man join the team here in the last week. Tell me about what you've been doing so far there.
Well, it's an old face rejoining us, which was nice. Dan Lebosky, who had played in the team last year, was at Colorado College, but wasn't getting very much playing time, not enough to satisfy what he wanted. So he decided to come back and pursue a scholarship with another school. So a real bonus for us when you get a caliber player like Danny coming back in, coupled with the fact that he's been here before, so he's familiar with our staff, familiar with the town, familiar with the teammates, and it makes for a seamless transition. And Dan paid immediate dividends in Dubuque. He had an assist on the power play. He vastly improved our penalty kill, which is an area that we needed to address. So a nice bonus for us. Unfortunately, came at the expense of Chase Hatcher, 20-year-old player who gave great yeoman service to the Storm, but that's the downside of the business, and part of my job is to make sure that we're improving on a daily basis.
Where have you seen improvement, even just in, let's say, the last five, six games?
Well, I think in particular the penalty kill, and we didn't get a lot of favorable results maybe until Dubuque, but when you go on the road, you need to have outstanding goaltending and outstanding special teams to win, and that was evidenced in Dubuque. Dylan was outstanding. We had 40-plus shots against. Our power play was 2-for-6, and the penalty kill was 5-for-5, so a pretty good formula there. But big improvement in terms of shot blocking, some urgency, and we look like a bit more of a cohesive unit on the penalty kill. So that's a step in the right direction, and then we're happy with where some of our young players, they're kind of feeling their way along. But now we're at December, and as you alluded to at the start, you know, a third of the way through, amazingly. But I think we're poised, and that's what gives me a lot of optimism for the second half, is because our young players have had a lot of development time. They've got a lot of ice time, which isn't necessarily always the case.
Talking with the head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Jim Holton, Jared Schaffrin, voice of the Storm in studio with us as well. To get better at the penalty kill, you have to have penalties. Are you having too many penalties, or are you lessening that? Makes the kill better? Does any of that coincide?
I don't think discipline's been an issue. The style we want to play, we're going to have penalties. We want to be a robust physical team, and in today's game, that's going to get called. And, you know, we've had some hitting from behind penalties that are part and parcel of the style we want to play. It's not necessarily intent, but we demand that guys finish their hits. And we know with that comes penalties, and we've talked about it all season, and that's part of the reason to have a good penalty kill. But really, I haven't been disappointed from a silly penalty standpoint. We haven't taken many of those, so I can live with the aggression penalties.
Offensively, you've got some pretty decent balance here, it looks like, so far to start the season, which you always want. It's great to have a superstar, but it's better to have four really, really good stars, or however many you're going to have. Tell me a little bit about your offense so far.
Well, depth has been the key word, I think, from day one. It's kind of a mantra that we've pounded away. And you're right, we don't have any of the high flyers. If you look at the league scoring leaders, we don't have anybody in the top 10, which is fine by me because we have a committee approach, and it allows us to roll four lines and erode teams over the course of time. And another reason why I'm kind of excited about the big picture is because we are getting contributions from a number of people, which makes us more difficult to shut down. The other big element to our offense has been our power play. It's been outstanding. It's over 30%, which is quite rare in hockey. Normally, if you're 20% or above, you're happy with your power play. Ours is running currently at, I think, 32%, and has really fueled our offense. And the nice part there, again, goes back to the depth, is because we're getting contributions from two different units, which have two different sets and two different looks, which makes us very difficult to defend. So hopefully that can continue. And then I still think we have some guys that are squeezing the stick a little bit tight, to use a bit of a cliche. But once they get a couple goals that go in, I think we're really going to take off an offensive perspective.
Tell me about depth at goaltending. That's so tricky. You want to have a stud in there, but yet they can't be there for all 60 games. And right now you've used Alec Dillon in, 75% of your games so far this season?
Yeah, you know, that's something that we're looking at. We're exploring some options, and you know, we're quite happy with our tandem right now. But right now, we've been riding the hot hand, so to speak, with Dylan. But you know that you're always susceptible to injury or fatigue, and that, and that's the one downside of maybe having two goalies the same age. But I guess we're in a lot better position than some teams. Goaltending is always an issue in hockey, and a great goalie makes you a much better coach. And right now, we're really happy with Dylan, but we'll keep our eye open and make sure that Blake gets enough games to be an adequate backup.
Obviously, with three games this week, will you go 2-1, or is that just a decision night by night, or will you plan on putting Alec in there all three nights?
No, I think we'll use two goalies here. Alec's going to go tonight, and we'll probably go Friday. We're not sure. You have a big picture, and you also have a small picture. So I tend not to worry about tomorrow until today is done, but Alec is going to go. But no, when we play two, especially with the matinee game on Saturday, we'll use two goalies.
We're talking with the head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Jim Holton. Tonight they welcome in Lincoln at 7:05. You beat them earlier this year in Lincoln, and it doesn't matter if they're top or bottom. Lincoln is a very tough place to play. They seem, from what I understand, Jared, they just don't really care. If you go to Lincoln, it's different than Lincoln or Omaha coming here. Yeah, you may boo and ring the cowbell, but it's taken to another level in Lincoln.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play. I think that was the second win in Lincoln that I've seen in over 10 games since I've been behind the mic. So it's not an easy place to play. I think our players have started to relish that opportunity and kind of feed off the hate a little bit. And I think that's helped them get over the hump in that building a little bit.
So, Jimmy, how about Lincoln tonight?
Well, a much improved team, and you just said it best. Anytime it's Lincoln Tri-City or Omaha Tri-City, anytime you've got the inter-Nebraska rivalry, throw the standings at it. It doesn't mean anything because this is a pride point for both teams, and we haven't seen them. That was our first game of the year when we played them, but watched a lot of tape. So like any team, they've improved their structure. They work very hard. They're a young team, so tonight the key for us is to get out to a quick start and maybe take some of their enthusiasm away early. If we can get a lead and play from the front, I think that would be a key to a victory tonight.
We always bring up when you talk to coaches, that's an important stretch for this reason, that reason, another reason. You've got a handful of games before you get a little break for Christmas and going into the new year, a chance to make a run here and send them off on a good note and everybody be happy for the holidays.
Well, exactly, and I think the other thing that's important for me is we have three in a row at home here. You know, we just came off, I think, 6-7 on the road, and to be a dominant team in any sport, you have to have a dominant home record, and right now I think we're sitting at 4-2-2. We've kind of petered away a couple in here, a few games we played very well but didn't get the result. This is a results-based business, as we all know, and I want to really make a claim to home ice, so that's a very important thing for us. And then, obviously, finishing the last game in Omaha, just as we talked about with Lincoln, a big rivalry game. We are 1-1 in that building so far. We want to make sure we have a winning record on the road in Omaha as well.
What are you still looking at right now? What's still that thing that you keep working on day in and day out that has to get better?
Consistency. I think our daily approach to improving has been impressive from our players, but the on-ice results and the on-ice product have to be consistent, and that's part and parcel of junior hockey. We strive for that, but I think the good teams grasp consistency quick. You know, and we look like we're close, but we've had instances this year where it feels like two steps forward and a half to a step backwards, and we want to make sure we can eliminate that moving forward.
Youngstown comes in this weekend, as you mentioned, Saturday afternoon's matinee. We'll talk about some of the things that are going on. It'll be one of the biggest crowds usually for that Saturday promotion, Boy Scout Day and all that. How hard is it, no matter what, when you play Friday night or whatever, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, when you have to play twice in less than 24 hours?
Well, it's difficult, but the best part is it's the same for both teams, and I think any time you have that situation, it kind of tips in favor of the home team because we get to sleep in our own beds, a little bit more comfortable surroundings. But it's not as big a deal now in December as it would have been in October. I think we're getting used to the back-to-backs and the short period of time in between games. So I never like to make excuses for anybody, and the fact that it's the same for both teams, it's not as though one team was rested coming in. So it's equal footing for everybody.
Jared, tell me a little bit about what is going on. We touched on a couple of things, but you got some fun stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a good weekend at the arena for sure, and the Ugly Sweater Night is going to be a 7:30 Free Kids Friday game on Friday night, and then Saturday afternoon it's Boy Scout Day, and as you alluded to, a lot of people that are going to be out here, the Boy Scout troops from all over the Central Nebraska region will be in town for the game. Special jerseys that the team's wearing. Actually, this year for the Boy Scout Night, we allowed the Boy Scouts to actually design the jerseys, so they've got a little kid feel to the jerseys this year, and they'll be auctioned off after the game, and it'll be a teddy bear toss as well, and I think everybody knows what that is by now. We've done it a couple years in a row, and pretty nice to do it around the holidays. I think my first year, we did it in January, and I said, why are we waiting until after the holiday? This is more of a holiday theme, so we're going to have that with all the kids, and hopefully score early to get the teddy bears tossed early onto the ice.
I think we had a disaster with that before you ever arrived here. I think the storm
it's happened.
I think the storm got shut out once. Maybe I think it was before.
That's
you
why. Yeah, first 5 minutes, get that goal quickly. We were in Dubuque last week, and it was a 2-1 win. Dubuque had their teddy bear toss. They scored 3 minutes in. They got out of the way, and then we shut them out for the rest of the game. So it worked out pretty well for both teams.
And who does this benefit? What do you do with all those? What's the idea behind it?
We would like to donate them to different organizations to get them to people that don't have the bears for the holidays. There's no one specific beneficiary to it. I think we kind of, as a staff, look around at different places that might need them. One of the things that we're going to do here in the next week or two is the Slumberland bed delivery. We've done that before in the past, but a lot of our players will help deliver some beds out to some families that need those, and we might throw in some teddy bears along with the bed. That might be one of the ways that we get them out there.
Can fans buy bears at the game?
This year, we are not doing that.
Okay.
So actually, that was a great question, because I think in the past, we have sold the Bears. But this year, bring your Bears, because we don't have them. So we're hoping you bring them.
There is possibly, guys, there's possibly that you're going to get extra teddy bears this year, or just stuffed bears with Chicago Bear gear on them already, because they aren't good. They're not good. They aren't good.
Jay Cutler, you can throw him on the ice, too, if you want, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. We're not going to have a 20-foot bear, are we?
No, I don't think any of that. But you never know. It's Stormy's 15th birthday, and Stormy might be getting a new look for his birthday. So a little preview for everybody, a little surprise for Stormy's 15th.
This is an updated, you know, hip looking Stormy.
Yep.
He's
and,
a teenager now.
Yeah, he's, you know what, we're getting ready. Oh, I think next year he's going to have to get his license. So, you know.
Keep him off the Zamboni. Yeah. last minute here with Jim Holton, Jared Schaffer of the Tri-City Storm, just kind of getting back on ice. Jim, what will happen when you go into that holiday break? How much time do you have? I know, but tell the fans how much time you have and what you do when you get back and what you want the kids to do. Some of them won't be here. Some of them will.
Certainly. The last game is the 19th of December, Friday night in Omaha. Most of the team and staff will be departing early on the 20th, home for 5 or 6 days. We'll report back on the 26th. We jump right back into the fire on the 27th with a home game against Sioux City, followed by a game in Omaha the next night. So no rest for the wicked, so to speak, but it's the same for both teams. And I'm a believer that rest is very important. So my advice would just be to leave the equipment right here in Kearney and go back and enjoy family time and some rest, and, you know, probably get on a bike or an elliptical machine or something on a daily basis just to keep the energy levels up. But really, I think it's time to step back and enjoy your family and enjoy Christmas for what it is.
And fan attendance, we always hit it this time of the year. Football season is now over. Okay, we always know that when you're playing at home and there's a football game, it really, well, you're going to finish second. And now, say the fans, this is the time they start coming out. They haven't been out there yet. What are they going to see?
Well, I think they're going to see a team that works hard, plays a physical brand of hockey, and never gives up. And I think that's something to be proud of from a fan base as well. And we've had a lot of entertaining games already this season, indicated by even our losses, 6-1 goal losses. And we've had a number of comebacks. So this team never gives up. We're working on our starts to make sure that we don't have to have the comebacks. But by the same token, it's nice to have a group of kids that never give up.
Are you wearing an ugly sweater or a suit and tie?
Well, fortunately, I have a wardrobe that's probably classified as ugly, so I maybe don't have to go out and purchase anything.
Some of us have that kind of thing out there, Jared.
December 27th, Coach mentions, is our first game back at home after the break, and there's another team that's going to play on that date as well. So we're actually going to move that game to a 3 o'clock game on December 27th. Just made the decision yesterday after the bowl schedule came out. We don't want to conflict with a bowl game. And in some nice weather, if anybody wants to travel out there, it's some nice weather. But, yeah, we're gonna move that game up because, as you said, football's first.
Yay. You'll be right back on the ice first thing on the 27th. Well, thanks for the breaking news, and we'll make sure all the fans know about it. Jared Schaffrin, Jim Holton, thanks for being with us on the show today. And I'm all choked up because it's Teddy Bear night. Hey, have a happy holiday.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
We're going to take a break. Be back with Robin Washit from Husker Online. Might be some recruiting news that isn't so good after this.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty is proud to help bring a Merry Christmas to needy kids through the Buffalo County Goodfellows. Join the spirit of giving. Donations can be made online at kearneygoodfellows.org.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Goodwill is dedicated to helping people with disabilities or barriers achieve their goals and improve their quality of life.
Your gift to Goodwill's annual campaign helps people thrive through the power of work.
Goodwill helps people find a job and achieve their greatest potential.
Because of Goodwill, I now have a great job.
People receiving services get the support they need to live, work, learn, and participate fully in the community. Goodwill.
Joy, a feeling of great happiness that's often given when helping others and doing what's right. If someone you know has spent the year giving the gift of joy, nominate them at fnbplattevalley.com/joy. we'll be drawing three winners for a $100 prepaid card between December 8th and 19th, so we can give back to those who give so much. Visit fnbplatvalley.com/joy. First National Bank, member FDIC.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
More exciting sports action comes your way Tuesday on our network of stations and PlatteRiverPreps.com. It's high school hoops on Classic Hits as Silver Lake takes on Axtell. And on 1230 KHAS, Adams Central will host Sandy Creek. Tri-City Storm Hockey Tuesday night on the Breeze as they host Lincoln. And college basketball on ESPN Radio as Illinois battles Villanova and Indiana takes on Louisville. It's all Tuesday night, including high school hoops, Silver Lake, Axtell, Classic Hits, Sandy Creek, Adams Central, 1230 KHAS. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, rolling along on this Tuesday. Hey, don't forget Thursday's show, we're going to be up at the UNK Health and Sports Center for their Winter Sports Luncheon, combining the coaches from the University of Nebraska at Kearney, from the Winter Sports coaches at Kearney High and Kearney Catholic. Get a little five-minute synopsis. They bring some of their athletes with them. Come on up, enjoy lunch, and we'll be there from 11 to 12. The program runs from 12 to 1 this Thursday via our Twitter address at ESPN 1460 1550. Mark says, can we speculate on the Sean Eichhorst comment that it was, quote, mutual, then slightly retracting the statement afterwards? I think, Mark, what they, and here he's referring to Bo Pelini saying, yeah, I think this is a good idea. I think what happened was, is Eichhorst says, I think we're moving in a good direction, and Coach Pelini didn't break anything, as far as we know. Robin Washit from Husker Online joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Robin, good morning.
Good morning.
Did you wear a suit and tie to the press conference like everybody else?
No, I actually felt awkward because I was probably the most casual guy there. I guess I didn't quite guess the attire for the situation quite as well. I went polo, though, so I at least had a collared shirt on.
That's third level, baby.
It's like I'm going on a golf outing or something.
Yeah, that's sixth level. You can do whatever you want. Third level, you gotta shore up.
You gotta class it up at level three.
Greg just emails us. He goes, I blame Steve Peterson for all of this. Robin, just your thoughts. Everybody covers the team. But I also think that everybody individually has a comment or a thought on everything that went down. So just personally, as a Midwesterner, your thoughts on what happened in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I guess as far as Bo's situation goes, you know, I mean, you look at the record and, you know, it's really hard to argue the consistency that they had, you know, and he ran a clean program and his players loved him and, you know, he was able to at least keep Nebraska somewhat in the conversation, you know, at least up to a certain point. But at the other hand, you know, like Sean Eichhorst made very clear in his, you know, press conference announcing the firing that it was the games that, you know, quote unquote mattered the most that, you know, he came up short and came up short in a really big way. And so I think it's really all depends on who you ask, because it's mostly a matter of personal preference and personal standards as to whether Bo was the right guy for the job. You know, he was a guy that, you know, I get had a lot of positive qualities and, you know, had a pretty decent resume, you know, when you look strictly at the numbers. But if you kind of go beyond that, if you're a program that wants to take the next step and, you know, actually compete for championships, I think you could make a very good case that, you know, Bo may not be the guy, just because in 7 years, You know, Nebraska really never came all that close outside of a couple conference championship appearances. So, you know, I personally am in the boat that, you know, Nebraska shouldn't be a program that settles. You know, I think that they should always be striving to, you know, compete with the best of the best. And, you know, I think that after 7 years, you know, I think it was pretty clear that, you know, Nebraska still wasn't close to getting to that point. So I don't disagree with the move. You know, obviously there's plenty of arguments against it, but personally I think it was the way to go. Now for Mike Riley, that certainly was a hire that came out of the blue. You know, it was kind of a guy that was on nobody's radar. You know, our hot board was, you know, up immediately after Bo's firing, and, you know, we didn't even think about putting him on there. So, you know, it took everybody by surprise, and especially when you listen to, you know, Sean Eichhorst talk about how quickly it happened. You know, I think it is even a surprise to people, you know, inside, you know, the athletic department. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm just going to wait and see, you know, how that all shakes out. I think it's pretty clear, at least personality-wise, you know, he's the anti-Pelini, you know, just with his demeanor and the way he carries himself, you know, not only in front of the press but on the sideline. You know, he's a guy that is an offensive-minded guy, you know, has his pro-style system, puts a lot of players in the NFL. You know, I don't know, a lot of people were hoping that he would bring in, you know, maybe more high-profile staff around him, but, you know, I think he's already got at least four coaches from Oregon State carrying over, coming over here to Nebraska. So it's kind of one of those deals where, you know, it's hard to – they're not apple-to-apple situations, you know, from what Bo did in Nebraska and what he did at Oregon State, you know, because obviously you're working with a completely different set of circumstances out there in Corvallis. And, you know, I think that the hope is that, you know, with the way that he was able to have the success he did at a program that, you know, isn't even close to the level of resources that Nebraska has, that, you know, with all that he now has at his disposal here, he'll be able to, you know, really take Nebraska that next step. So, you know, as far as Riley goes, like I said, it's kind of a wait and see thing. But, you know, I think, you know, if nothing else, Sean Eichhorst made it clear that, you know, this is the type of figurehead he wants leading this program.
Robin, has anybody, everybody loves the rumor mill, so let's go to the rumor mill real quick. Has anybody seen, heard, talked to, know what Bo is doing, where he's at, what he might be looking at?
Well, I just actually saw a thing on Twitter where somebody took a picture of him with a Mr. Goodsense. So he's still in town here getting some fast food sandwiches. But, you know, I saw something. There was a rumor going around about him possibly going to Youngstown State. I don't know how, you know, seriously any of that was actually considered. But, you know, he's a guy that's a good coach. You know, he may not be a good head coach for, you know, people with the standards that, you know, they have at Nebraska here, but he's a guy that, you know, he knows his football. And I think that, you know, people would be very, very smart to bring him in as a coordinator, especially a defensive coordinator at a top-level school, because we've seen, you know, he's proven it, that he can win and coach defense, you know, when that's really all he's asked to do at a really high level. And so I think that some program is going to get themselves a pretty good coordinator if that's the route he chooses to go. As far as a head coaching job, I think that he may have to take a step down, you know, just as far as, you know, the level of program, but, you know, before he, you know, jumps back up into a Power 5 job. But, you know, I think he'll have a job somewhere. But, you know, given that buyout that he's got, I wouldn't be in any rush to, you know, get right back to work. I might take a vacation or two and enjoy my time a little bit.
Robin, I don't know. That, you know, when we got the email that said Bo was going to be fired, shocking news. When we got the email that said Mike Riley was the new coach and the press conference is tomorrow, shocking news. I know what the girls felt like when they were waiting for the Beatles to come on Ed Sullivan, but I have to break away from what we're talking about right now because, oh my God, the biggest thing in the history of the world has just happened. Johnny Manziel's going to get to start Sunday. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Hold on, I got to go run around the building. Woo-hoo! Good God, Johnny Manziel. Good luck, Johnny. Anyway, Robin Washitz with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I should just go watch all the fantasy football geeks pick him up right now. I think there's a lot of apprehension with Riley because we don't know a lot about him, and now all of a sudden he's bringing a couple of guys on his staff, reportedly, that weren't exactly held in high regard at Oregon State. And we had Lindsey Snell from the Oregonian on last week when the hire came down. And she says, as I said, everything looks like this guy's the Pope. I mean, that he doesn't do anything wrong. There's got to be something out there. She says one of his faults maybe is that he is too loyal and won't really get on guys that need to be moved or dismissed or anything like that. It's not a good sign when Husker fans are already a little nose in the air about guys they don't even know about.
Well, yeah, especially, I mean, I think this is almost carryover from, you know, a lot of issues people had with Bo. I mean, he was a guy that didn't really stretch too far away from his close circle, and he would always hire his buddies, and even if they were the right guy for the job or not. And so I think a lot of people are viewing this as almost history repeating itself, that, you know, Riley's just bringing in his core guys and, you know, not even really looking to, you know, kind of go outside the box and find a more, you know, proven, bigger name additions to his staff. But at the same time, too, it's not that uncommon for that, you know, a coach to do that. I mean, it'd almost be strange, you know, because Bo was almost in that exact same situation. You know, when he first took over, he had an offensive coordinator that he had absolutely no relationships with, and Sean Watson. And we all know how that ended. And so, I mean, you run that risk of not gelling at all, and, you know, having that cohesiveness as a staff is extremely important. You know, so I guess you can look at it two ways, but, you know, I think a lot of it, just the angst that Nebraska fans have about, you know, the way Riley is going about it, is just because of, you know, Bo did the exact same thing, and people weren't exactly thrilled about the way he did that.
Talking with Robin Washington of Husker Online, a lot about Husker football. We'll have a basketball question or two as well, and we better talk about some recruiting, brought to you by T&L Irrigation, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. And this coming from Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star, that Nate Klaus, Sean, you guys all know about it, retweeting it, reposting it. It looks like the Davis twins of Blue Springs are going to decommit with an offer or visit to Missouri. Oregon's out there, TCU, North Carolina State. And then one of our tweets says, hey, Robin, with the twins gone, does that mean Coach K's gone too? Can you address both?
You know, I just saw about that news today. You know, the Kansas City Star reported that, you know, the Davis twins told them that, yeah, they are done with Nebraska. You know, it's also just kind of the words of some, you know, 18-year-old kids. So, I mean, there's always a chance that they could change their minds once they get a chance to actually talk with Riley and the coaching staff. But, yeah, I don't know what Coach Kaczynski's chances are of staying on staff. You know, I think that the chances of a holdover, you know, from the previous staff is, you know, pretty slim. I think it may be like one, maybe a small chance of two guys. And, you know, I know a lot of people – you know, especially on the team, so his players, you know, when the Bo's firing was first made public on Twitter, you know, it was almost like people came to Bo's defense, and then the defensive line guys came to Coach K's defense, and just saying that, you know, he was, you know, one of the best assistant coaches on the staff. So if there were to be a carryover guy, I think he would be right up there as, you know, one of the top candidates. But, you know, let's kind of wait and see with this. Again, you know, I think that there was a lot of apprehension, you know, from the current commits once the, you know, news broke, just because they didn't know anything about Mike Riley. And, you know, they're like, why would I stay committed to a coaching staff? I have no idea who they are. So, you know, I think that, you know, we'll see kind of how this plays out, you know, with the Davis twins, that, you know, if, you know, the Riley and the staff are able to kind of, you know, kind of mend some of the wounds there and, you know, still sell them on Nebraska and the plan they have going forward, then, you know, maybe their minds change. But that's kind of just part of the deal with the coaching change. And, you know, you get some, you know, recruits that, you know, from, you know, the coach's previous school that you weren't in on, and then you'll probably lose some that you were on with your old staff. So it's just kind of the name of the game, and kind of got to just wait and see how it all plays out.
If they don't come to Lincoln, that's the biggest hit, and then the yacht Bussy, I suppose. But wouldn't those be the three big boys of this class so far?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you got to give, you know, Riley credit. You know, he's already made it out to Colorado to talk to Eric Lee and Avery Anderson, got Deshaun Neal last night. So, you know, they're working, you know, hard. I mean, they're up against the clock. You know, first of all, they're trying to still assemble a staff. And this week is the final live period where coaches can go and have firsthand contact with recruits, before signing day. So this is an extremely important week, and I have no doubt in my mind that, you know, those coaches will be down there, again, trying to salvage the relationship with the Davis twins, because, you know, those two kids were probably, you know, the highlights of this latest class. So I mean, I would have no doubt in my mind that they're going to do, you know, one last full force effort to try and keep those kids on. But again, you know, it's just kind of how it goes sometimes. And, you know, you can't blame the kids. You know, a lot of kids are committing to coaches, you know, not just the school, but coaching staff. And now when you have the guys that they built those relationships with over the last year or two out of the picture, you know, you can't blame them but to look elsewhere.
Doesn't look like the interest will be there much for Nebraska fans living in the state to make the trip to San Diego. You can always look at those travel agencies when they're not booking charter flights out there. So we'll have to rely on the Californians for Nebraska to carry the Husker flag on the 27th?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's at least somewhat of a change of scenery from the last few years down in Florida. It's San Diego, you know, in December, so it's hard to beat that. But, it's one of those games that's just, it's weird, you know, because you have, you know, a coaching staff that is basically on their you know, last run here. We got Barney Cotton as your interim head coach. And, they've got a bunch of guys on the staff that don't know if they're, you know, ever going to, you know, be on a Nebraska sideline again. So it's going to have a weird feel to it. Especially with Mike Riley not really being involved in any of the day-to-day stuff, as far as the bowl prep goes. I mean, it's still, you know, a Nebraska bowl game in, you know, a beautiful part of the country. So I'm sure that it'll get a decent turnout. But again, you're right. It's going to be a little bit different than previous years. And I think the good news is that there are a lot of Husker fans in California to help pick up the slack.
Nebraska and USC have a common opponent, and it's Fresno State. Robin, what should we know about USC? They're the six-point favorite. What can you give us of some early nuggets?
Yeah, you know, they're an offensive team, you know, led by Steve Sarkisian, who, you know, Nebraska fans should know pretty well from the Washington run a few years ago. But, they have a quarterback, Cody Kessler, who is maybe one of the better quarterbacks in the country. He ranks in the top 15 in passing yards per game, and touchdown. I think he threw for 36 touchdowns last year to maybe like 8 interceptions. So I mean, they got a pretty dynamic passing attack. But the good news is, you know, I mean, you can't really call this Bo's defense anymore, but, you know, they're going to have the same philosophies at least for the next month, that they do really well against pocket passers and even the elite level pocket passers. Our guy Dan Hoppen actually wrote a story today, the kind of breaking down Nebraska's success against, you know, some of the top level, potential pro pocket passers that they faced over the years since 2009. And Nebraska's been really, really good. And I can't really break down all the numbers right now, but it's kind of one of the strong points that, you know, Bo's defense, you know, when they originally came to the Big 12, was trying to shut down all those, you know, high volume passing teams, and you know, they did a really good job of it until they immediately moved to the Big Ten. So I think that at least in that regard, Nebraska matches up well, and it'll be interesting to see kind of what JP does to maybe spice things up a little bit, give some new looks, and kind of show USC something that they, you know, haven't shown on film all year. So in that sense, it's probably pretty interesting and adds a little intrigue as far as the bowl goes.
Last minute here with Robin Washut of Husker Online. We talked about it yesterday. 10 Big Ten teams are in bowl games, and every single one of them is an underdog. The national media is going to have a heyday with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not this to be expected. I mean, the Big Ten really didn't do a whole lot to earn much national confidence, you know, outside of Ohio State. It's kind of one of those deals that it's the stigma of the Big Ten right now. You know, they're regarded as, you know, one of the weaker Power Five conferences that, you know, once they're put to the test against, the other big boys of the Power Five, they, you know, end up getting rolled in bowl games. And until the Big Ten is able to go out there and prove it on the field and, you know, start winning some of these games, you know, I think that perception is only going to continue. So maybe this is the year it turns, but, Vegas makes those lines for a reason. So, you know, they know a lot more than we do.
Nebraska basketball, Robin, that was a kick in the gut on Sunday for Husker fans. Where's this team? I mean, I'm on record as saying, you know, you can't go from being 12th being picked 12th, being picked second in 1 year. That's a lot of expectations, maybe overrated. Yeah. Maybe they'll be there at the end of the year. It's going to be tough to live up to the expectations that are put on them that quickly. So is that caught up with them, or are there other reasons?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of the issues facing them right now are things that, you know, we were talking about before the year even started. And, you know, I think that they just continue to be, you know, bigger and bigger concerns, you know, with every performance like we had on Sunday night. They still don't have a consistent play inside. You know, their point guard position is still in flux. They still haven't found a third option, you know, behind Petaway and Shields, you know, offensively to help pick up the slack. And, you know, they're really kind of just trying to figure out their offense right now. And so when you combine all those things, you're going to have performances like that. And Creighton, once again, just drew up the perfect blueprint for how to beat Nebraska. You know, everybody gets, you know, caught up in Stop and Tram Petaway. Well, what Creighton did, they put all their attention towards Siobhan Shields because, for one, he's a far more efficient player. And so he's going to get his numbers, but do it in, you know, like I said, a much more efficient style. Whereas they just let Petaway, you know, they knew he was going to get his points no matter what they did. And so they just let him shoot a high number of low percentage shots from the perimeter. You know, he finished with 21, but I think he was, you know, 8 of 20 from the field or something like that. And so, you know, you just kind of throw those out the window. And if you shut down Shields, there's no one else that can score, because Walter Pitchford's a non-factor, Ty Webster's a non-factor, and everybody else on that lineup is, you know, just then no one else scored in double figures in that game. And so Nebraska has a real issue of finding other guys to help carry that weight. And, you know, I think people were really counting on, you know, Pitchford to really make a big jump. But, you know, until he finds a way to get going, you know, Nebraska's going to continue to be faced with this problem of, you know, Petaway, Shields, and then who?
And Husker fans, you better pay attention tomorrow night. You chuckle when you, because I do, when you say Incarnate Word and you don't know where they're at. San Antonio, right, Jeff? That what you told me? San Antonio?
Yeah.
They're in San Antonio. So producer Jeff on top of that one for us again. But they're 5-1, and their loss last time out came to UTEP. They beat Princeton. They're the sixth highest scoring team in the country right now, which is hard to believe. And then you want to look at Cincinnati and getting some key games when you go out to Hawaii. I know everybody's saying, ooh, we got a chance to play Wichita State in the second round. This could get ugly in a hurry, and I hope not. I'm not saying that, but if they don't find a little solution here, they've got some contests between now and the first of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. Time's running out. I mean, like you mentioned, that stretch run, I mean, you know, even Incarnate Word, who I think people chalked up as a joke game, you know, all of a sudden they're going to be a pesky little challenge for them. And they got four guys averaging in double figures, and all they do is just run the floor and shoot. So Nebraska's going to have to, you know, control the pace on that one and just, you know, keep the pace turn into a track meet. But, you know, I think Cincinnati is going to come in here and do the exact same scheme that Creighton used, and you know, make somebody else besides Siobhan Shields and Tram Petaway beat them, and then you know, they're going to be a big physical team inside that's going to stress them that way. And then you go out to Hawaii, you know, not only are you going, you know, all the way across the Pacific Ocean to play a game, you're also playing a Hawaii team where notoriously you're not only playing them, you're playing the officials out in a game like that. So that could be a difficult game in that sense. And then, you know, you get lucky and win that one, then you're playing Wichita State. So it's going to be a meat grinder coming up here. And then, oh, yeah, then you open Big Ten play with Indiana at home on New Year's Eve. So it's only going to get more and more difficult for this team. And with the issues they have facing them right now, the clock is ticking to get some things figured out in a hurry.
All right, Robin, we covered a lot of Husker ground here. Let's go to lunch. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Take care. That is Robin Washit from Husker Online talking Husker basketball, a little Husker football, and the recruiting news that the Davis twins are probably out. They're out for now. That is a big hit because they have been one of the first commits and four stars. Husker Recruiting Update brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. A couple of tweets and emails that aren't directly associated with Nebraska football. What? We'll get to those and the rest of the day's sports right after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Santa wears Husker red, and so can you, along with a lot of other colors from TM Sporting Goods in the downtown Kearney Center.
San and you might also consider Under Armour for crisp outdoor jaunts. If you have a player on your Christmas list, see Steve and Tino for expert advice on equipment and accessories for every sport and the know-how to help you buy right. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design, and like them on Facebook for daily holiday specials.
Kroll Agency and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, two names you know and trust. With locations in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden, Kroll Agency has simple health insurance solutions for you, your family, or business. As an independent and authorized producer of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Kroll Agency has the individual health insurance or employee group plan you need. Kroll Agency is proud to be a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska Diamond Broker. Visit them at Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
Knowing what the weather will be is important to you. It helps you determine what you should have the kids wear to the bus stop, or if you'll have the chance to get that outdoor project completed. Weatherology.com eliminates the frustrations associated with other online weather websites and incorporates the latest social networking tools to enhance the quality of true, up-to-the-minute weather. Take Weatherology.com with you wherever you go by downloading the free mobile app for Android and iPhone. Weatherology.com, the science of weather simplified and socialized.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Some true breaking news. Apparently, Carolina Panther quarterback Cam Newton has been involved in an automobile accident this morning, taken by ambulance to a hospital. That comes from the Charlotte Observer, being reported on ESPN. So no other details, except that Cam Newton apparently has been injured in a car accident today. So keep up to date here on ESPN with the very latest. It's time now for our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday if the playoff selection committee got it right in the Ohio State Baylor TCU situation. 87% of you said, yep, got it right. No doubt about it. 87% said, booyah. And then just had a couple of votes each way for TCU and Baylor. We ask you today, are you happy with Nebraska's bowl game? Yep. Nope. It should be in a different location. Or nope, I wish it was a different opponent. Yeah, I wish it was somebody easier. But it's been a handful of years where the guys haven't been out there to play in the Holiday Bowl. Just, I think what they say, maybe 12 of them were even with the university, like in a freshman or redshirt freshman capacity 5 years ago or 4 years ago when they went out there for the Holiday Bowl. So, and it's Southern Cal. It's a name. It's a name. And if you would happen to win it, in other circumstances, had nothing changed in the coaching situation, I thought this would have been a knockdown, really good, again, bowl game for the Huskers with a good opponent that's on your level. You look at the rankings, they're one spot apart from each other in the AP. The Huskers are ranked a little higher in the coaches' poll, so interesting to look at that. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question, vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. This comes from Brent via the Twitter. He says, I'm just thinking aloud, would an 11-1 Notre Dame Irish team with no conference championship game be left out of a playoff? Interesting to consider. I don't think so, Brent, because I think, and it's not as tough now, but I still think if they were 11-1, they would have had to have beaten enough quality teams to take that spot, even ahead of Ohio State this year. But they would have been left hanging there in the last week. There's no doubt about it. They would have been left hanging, but I guess we don't have to worry about that now, do we? Brent says, if Green Bay gets home field advantage, will any team have a chance to beat them? With that thought, can anyone beat New England or Denver at their house? Well, evidently if Buffalo can score, yes. I do believe the Packers are Super Bowl bound, says Brent. The best thing for the Packers was having Rodgers sit for a few years behind Favre, and more teams should do the same if they can. Allowing your future franchise quarterback absorb the game and mature will pay off in the long run. But we all know it is a what-are-you-doing-for-me-now league. On another note, for the coin toss against Washington, Jeff Fisher sent out the six players they drafted with the draft picks they received for RG3. Too funny? Your thoughts? Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's anytime you make kind of a pointed statement that is not, I mean, this is different than LeBron wearing the t-shirt or the warm-up last night. This is different. Something that you can get kind of a chuckle at, that everybody knows what you're getting at, you know, and you're firing up your guys. Hey, they traded you for this guy and he's not even playing. And you all got traded for him. As far as Green Bay's defense has to get better. It has to get better. And, I thought Atlanta had a chance just because of the way the NFL works. I really thought Atlanta, being the biggest underdog of the week, Monday Night Football, I thought they had a chance to win outright last night. And had they not stubbed their toe on a couple of drives in the first half, Green Bay is very difficult to stop. But they started holding them to field goals and exchanging touchdowns for them. But coming back from 24 is a little tough, and they come up 6 points short. So Denver, boy, they're not the best team in the AFC. I don't know if New England is. I think you still have a chance at a legit long shot wild card, somebody that may not even be in the playoffs today in the AFC, make that run. I think it could be very interesting if they do that. What do we got now? Huh?
Somebody nailed a 12-teamer last night with the Falcons.
So he got it right.
Yep, he did.
So he hit the 12-team parlay card in Vegas. Bet $15, wins $45,000. Holy cow! And it started with SMU. You gotta love that. But of course, now see, he's in a situation. You gotta wonder how much he bet back on that last night, because his other 11 were all done. He had the Seahawks in there, and he had a mixture of college and NFL, and he had favorites and underdogs, and he had the Patriots in there, which was looking scary for a while. I'm guessing he double bet back last night, because he would have been setting at 10. He would have been setting at 10 going into the Sunday night game, so you bet a little bit back there, and then you really bet a little bit back. So he probably clears 20, 25,000. Usually you keep that original ticket for half, and so he's probably, because he probably bet back Sunday, he makes 20,000, though. That's okay. Pretty good gig there. But the NFL, I'll tell you what, I think it's still very wide open. Yeah, you got some teams that are performing well, but Green Bay's got to play better defense. A couple of other sports notes before we kind of wrap things up here. The Baseball Hall of Fame, it's not their, they call it the Golden Era Committee now, not the Veterans Era Committee, but the Golden Era. They didn't elect anybody, so it'll all be new guys next summer when they go to Cooperstown. Dick Allen, Tony Oliva were one vote short. This is what's a little weird. Only 16 people voting, and there's like 1,000 that vote for the new guys every year. So you needed 12 votes, and they got 11. That's a big percentage. That's a big sway there. Jim Cott was right after that. Maury Wills, Minnie Minuso. Luis Tiant was on there. Man, I remember that. Great pitching motion. Weird, but great. Gil Hodges was on that as well. What else have we not covered here? Covered that and that, and we talked a little football, and we talked a little bit about that, and the UNK volleyball team finishes fifth for a team that was beaten in the first round of the NCAA tournament. They finish in fifth place, so congratulations to the Lopers. They went 27-4, lost to eventual national runner-up Southwest Minnesota State. Tampa wins the national title, unanimous number one. The next five teams, all from the central region, including Wayne State, who finished in sixth. Washburn was 18th. Central Missouri was 20th out of the MIAA. Hastings College's Katie Zuha, I think we mentioned this yesterday, honorable mention, All-American. UNK's Ethan Brozek, the MIAA Men's Basketball Player of the week. Also, we've got some high school hoops tonight. Adams Central, Sandy Creek on 1230 KHAS. Silver Lake Axtell on Classic Hits 98.9. The games are always on PlatteRiverPreps.com. Check it out online. Those are our radio games tonight. And, of course, the Storm. We talked about that as well. They are home tonight. And I missed this with Jimmy yesterday. I slid by, got it in the wrong group of papers. Hastings College bowling teams won the Mustang Invitational at Morningside over the weekend. And Hastings College will play Bethany College in this GPAC Kansas Collegiate Athletic Conference Association Challenge. It's a non-conference series for the next 2 years. They play Bethel College in 2015 and Bethany in 2016. So Hastings and Bethy will play in 2016. College soccer, Alex Geyer, Hastings College, first team All-American. Jake Ramsey, third team. Taylor Geis, Mallory Taylor of the women's team are named honorable mention. And the first individual wrestling rankings in classes B and C are out this week. The team rankings, no major changes. Scott remains number one in B. Northwest moves in at 10. And in C, it's still David City, O'Neill 1-2, Central City 7th, St. Paul 10th. I want to remind you that we are going to be in Lincoln Saturday afternoon for the Amherst-O'Neill duel ahead of Nebraska-Wisconsin, 4 o'clock, Classic Hits 98.9. We will have a special tailgate party. It's a Doug and Daddy tailgate edition from 1 to 2 at the Heidelbergs on 33rd and Superior. Mark Mosier, the sports director up at O'Neill, and myself will be together from 1 to 2 here on ESPN Radio, talking with the coaches, and we anticipate Mark Manning to be joining us later this week on the Doug and Daddy Show as well. We hope you'll join us for lunch today at the Kearney Chicken Coop, the sports bar and grill that takes care of not only sports barn it up, but a very good grill with everything you want. And today, the Tuesday special, as always, from 11 to 4, salad and soda for only $7. You can get anything you want. I love the prime rib sandwich. Get a little cheese on it. Maybe some baked beans for a side. Chicken tender hoagie. Get a big old pizza. Lots of burgers to choose from. Or if you want to go a little bit bigger, can't go wrong with the peppercorn steak, folks. It's all there at the Kearney Chicken Coop with great specials on appetizers, long necks, and draws from 2 to 5:30 daily. Book your holiday party today as they are full of downstairs for you and your family, friends, and co-workers. Kearney Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney. Want to thank Jim Holton, head coach and GM of the Tri-City Storm. Want to thank Robin Washett of Husker Online for joining us today. As always, a big thank you to all those that tweeted in, that emailed, and made our show possible today. Tomorrow, we will have Damon Day sliding in for us. He'll be our co-host. We've got Loper Link. Talk a little Loper hoops tomorrow. And a whole lot more Thursday. We are at the UNK Health and Sports Center. And Friday, don't forget our special show from 11 to 1 out at Fast Phil's. We've got a lot of wrestling, basketball, football to talk about as the week progresses. For our producer, engineer, Jeff Babel, I'm Doug Duda. I sent my Heisman Trophy vote in yesterday. The guy I voted for, he is going to be in New York. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.